At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Ryan, you and I have worked together for, I guess, going on, what, about 15 years now?
2005.
We met in Austin, and, you know, it's been a pretty fun journey. How much do you feel like golf instruction has changed, you know, just in the time that you and I have known each other and been working together?
Well, I think for me, we had a little bit of a shortcut because we knew Dave and Greg.
From TPI.
From TPI.
Yeah.
Yep. Definitely.
You were one of the early adopters of kind of the Titleist Performance Institute. How did you get exposed to what they started to do? And how do you feel like that kind of changed the way that you saw golf instruction? Because, I mean, it definitely changed the way I thought about the way the body worked, the way golf swings worked, and how they're all connected. But how did you get exposed to Greg and Dave at TPI?
Just from the top, I was a Titleist professional, and we became a top Titleist account, and that gave us access to bringing in groups to Titleist beginning in 2004. And those guys would go through the process, screens, the fittings, the workouts with Dave and Greg. At first, I was watching them, how that all unfolded and what the screens correlated to swing traits, swing faults back at the time, right? So if you did a certain move in a screen, most likely you'll have a certain fault in the golf swing. And that just kind of went, blew me away. And so selfishly, I wanted to go through it first to help my game. And
yeah, because at that time, I think when you and I met,
I was still trying to play.
Yeah, you played college golf at SMU. You and who was on your team? Who was part of the team when you were at SMU?
Hank Keeney. Yeah. That's probably the big star. US Amateur champ. Yep. And then in my time freshman year, we had Jason Enloe, who went on to be one of the coaches there, Chris Parr, who's the current coach, Josh Gregory, who is a great tour coach right now.
Who was the SMU coach.
He was the SMU coach as well.
And Hank Haney was your...
Of course, Hank Haney was saving him for last. He was my head coach.
What was that like?
Very tough. Very tough. And for me personally, I went to SMU because I knew I would go there if I didn't play golf. And it was in Dallas. I'm from Austin. I stayed in Texas, Cowboys, Stars, all that stuff, Rangers. I wanted to stay in Texas. And it was just his graciousness that led me on the team because I was a walk-on. I had a pretty good record my senior year as a player, but that's how I got to SMU, the graciousness of Hank Haney. And I actually gave it up and worked on becoming an FBI agent. Beginning my sophomore year, which is a different turn of events, but
from college golfer to being an FBI agent.
Yeah, it was a dream, and that took a lot of time, and I didn't have time for golf and those pursuits, and being a regular college kid too.
Yeah, being a regular college kid and trying to be in the FBI probably doesn't go hand in hand.
No, it doesn't. So I had to bridge that gap too.
So how did you get from trying to be a college golfer to trying to be an FBI agent to now having a, you know, almost, you know, decade and a half of being a golf instructor?
Yeah. I'll keep it short. Paul Lawrie won the British Open in 99.
Yeah, Paul Lawrie. Yep.
And Paul Lawrie. Who the hell is Paul Lawrie? Right? He was like a driving range pro. I came out of nowhere.
No, he wasn't a driving range pro. He played
He played tour.
He played on the European tour.
For a long time.
Yeah.
But he came up from, you know, those ranks and were like, man, if he can do this, I can do this. He came back from 10 shots. Right? It's like, So I was working.
But I think Paul gets a lot of, you know, because of the way he won that Open Championship. I mean, yeah. Paul Laurie was a legit player on the European Tour and played and just happened to be the last man standing.
Yeah. And most Americans didn't know he was, and I certainly didn't know he was. And I think it was a great thing. He inspired my decision to change back to golf. I mean, because I was working for the state of California in Medicaid. I was literally on my way to becoming an agent because I worked in claims, but I also helped the fraud team. And that's what I was working on. And then I just saw him win. And I was like, man, I'm going to go give this another shot. And after about a year or so of saving money, and I came to the Golden Bear Tour in 2001, got my ass kicked, went back home to Austin, moved back home to Dallas, and played around Texas for a long time, and ended up at Austin Golf Club.
Yeah, that's where we met.
That's where we met. Still trying to play, but also be an assistant pro, section events, blah, blah, blah. But because of our relationship with Titleist, we became a good Titleist account for him. We were able to go to TPI, and we were also able to get in touch with the Harmons. Because we found out that Claude Harmon wants to come back to the States.
Yeah, that's, I was working on the European Tour at that time, and I was...
You were searching?
You know, Wally Uline was gracious enough early on in my career to make me a part of the Titleist organization, which was a huge part of my yep. development. And you know, when I met you, you kind of, you know, I'd moved to Austin to work at the Austin Golf Club for a year. I'd been on the European Tour for like 3 or 4 years. And, you know, you were this person that had all of this new information. You were really the one that kind of introduced me to TPI, you know, that introduced me to Greg and Dave, and through, you know, getting to know them, you know, you and I kind of pushed all in on that kind of whole body swing connection.
That's the difference, because most golf instructors either have a lot of experience from plan or just a lot of experience just connecting dots over the years. What Dave and Greg were able to do basically in maybe 15 seconds was diagnose a swing. Basically hack what you needed to do to work on your swing.
I think what they were doing and what is now normal in golf instruction, it's normal now in 2023.
Correct.
But they were really kind of coming up with life hacks for, and I've talked about this, you know, on the pod before. I've talked about that. I've had Greg or Dave on a couple of times.
And I'm all about this too.
You know, the idea that when you look at a player, and even a player, you know, we look at players, you know, from an instruction standpoint, but there's so many people listening to this podcast that are trying to self-diagnose their own game, right? They're trying to figure out how to hit the golf ball better, how to hit the golf ball straighter, how to hit the golf ball further, more solid, whatever the fix is. And some of the life hacks that I think the guys at TPI came up with were, okay, if you're not doing something in your golf swing, it's two things. It's a concept problem in that you don't understand the concept of what you're trying to do. But I think most golfers that are playing a lot and practicing a lot, I think I'd say they have a good idea of the concept that they're trying to do. I think most people that are playing golf are slicers of the golf ball. I think most people have a fairly decent understanding in 2023 with all the information that is readily available through social media, on the internet. I mean, you can kind of come up with a pretty good game plan. If you're a slicer, just off of going and watching YouTube videos and things like that, you come up with a pretty good game plan on what you need to do to try and draw the golf ball. I mean, there are a ton of videos that you can go online. Which wasn't around in 2004. I mean, the content that is available now, I think, for the regular golfer that is just trying to lower their handicap is, we've never had that much information. But what I do think is that one of the things that the average golfer doesn't think of is, okay, could there be something that is limiting me from a physical standpoint that isn't allowing me to do the concept that I'm trying to do?
That's why I used to put a lot of stuff out, and that's why I do not put a lot of stuff out, because you have to be able to physically do the thing you're trying to do, and you may be just banging your head against the wall because you can't lay the shaft down because your right shoulder, neck doesn't work like that.
Yeah, I think it's important that, you know, specifically, you know, in 2023, social media, a lot of people are getting their golf instruction information and info, data, whatever, theories. It's coming from social media. It's coming from people making videos. But I think it's what you said is really important. You've got to understand, first and foremost, what your body can and can't do.
Right.
Based off of the things that you're trying to get your body to do to swing the golf club.
So you can go through trial and error, and that may take years.
Right.
I think what Dave and Greg were able to do in a minute was diagnose everything and come up with the corresponding plan to fix everything. And that's the hack. And I've been doing that since, I think we got certified officially 2008, all three levels, but I think they started a program in 2006, but I was doing that before I got certified.
So for people listening that haven't been screened and haven't gone through.
And by the way, this applies to all sports now too.
Right.
So even if you're a baseball player, there are certain things that your body cannot do. And if you're emulating a certain pitcher or a batting style, it's the same thing. And I think that's very relatable to a lot of golfers that played other sports, right? I wasn't successful in football because I couldn't do this, or I wasn't big enough or fast enough. Well, we can train for speed. We can screen your power. We can do all this stuff. And we can hack into why it's happening or why it's not happening. And that can make your program or your lesson that much more efficient. Bam.
So obviously we live in the lesson world. We live in the instruction world. But there are a lot of people listening to this podcast that don't have a golf instructor that they see on a regular basis, right?
Right.
A lot of people are going to a driving range. They're going to the golf course. But I would say, I think a large percentage of people listening are not in the world that we're in. They don't have a trainer. They don't have someone to screen them. They don't really work with someone on a regular basis from a golf standpoint, from an instruction standpoint. So for that person, what are some things that they can do? What are some of these life hacks that you could give someone that's a mid-handicap golfer, you know, a 10 to 20 handicap golfer who's just trying to break 90, 80 for the first time, maybe break par for the first time. But that mid-range golfer who's just trying to break 80 for the first time, who's just trying to break 90, who's trying to break 100, what are some things that they can do on their own without an instructor, without a trainer, without all of the stuff that they see the tour player have?
Right. This is kind of the greatest challenge for the industry, right? So first and foremost, you don't have to have your best stuff to score your best. I think that is a realization that some professionals are just not understanding, right? Meaning that you're able to break 80 and maybe you didn't drive it well that day, but you're able to get around either short game or putting, right? So you got to be able to almost be able to rank what you have. I'm a great putter. I need to set myself up for some great putts, meaning I need to get on the green with every chip, right?
Regardless of how far away from the hole.
I don't care. If you got a wedge in your hand and you're a 10 handicap, you should be able to hit the green more than 90% of the time if you know how far you are and what kind of yardage you can hit that wedge, right? I don't care what it looks like swing-wise. And so for me, I'm very systematic in my approach.
Systematic. I mean, you're systematic in every approach of your life. Jeez. I mean, don't just give it to golf. I mean, you are the ultimate process.
I'm always trying to hack and systematize and everything. Yep. But, you know, if you go out and block practice and find a favorite wedge number, right, then that should be a go-to wedge number.
So how does a player do that?
Right. So I like to basically start backwards. So I'd rather you have a whatever swing it is, like a shoulder to shoulder swing or like a 10 o'clock swing.
9 to 3, whatever. If you're in the clock theory, waist high, back, waist high through. I think a good wedge distance kind of baseline is if you take the golf club back, you know, think about your hand position. Your hands are, you're standing in the dial of a clock, your head's at 12 o'clock, your hands are at 6 o'clock. So if your hands kind of went to that waist high position, we would call that 9 o'clock on the dial if you're a right-handed golfer, and then 3 o'clock on the follow through.
Right.
So I've always thought that that's a really good baseline to say, okay, waist high back, waist high through with my lob wedge, my sand wedge, my pitching wedge,
whatever that is,
go right? Whatever distance, go that. So how many balls do you think someone could come up with and use? I mean, I think the majority of golfers now have a range finder,
right?
So go out on a range, find a target that is 50 yards.
Well, backtrack. To break 80 or to break 90, you got to have some level of short game proficiency, and you can't make the big mistakes, right? So it's real easy for a player to just learn the small shots first, the putting, the pitch shots, the bump and runs, the punch shots. You have to have an understanding of how far you hit those shots. And for me, to systematize it, find those numbers, 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock, right? 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock, whatever your numbers are, make those religious and apply those to the course. So if your number with like a 9 o'clock swing that you've found basically by hitting, you know, 30 balls to no target, like just work on the position, the distance of the swing, the length.
So take the target out of the equation.
Take the target out.
Yeah, because I do think that golfers are so outcome oriented. They're so target oriented that as soon as we implement a target, then the golf swing they're making.
Would we ever teach a quarterback to throw to the 5, the 10, the 15, the 20 when you're 6 years old? We teach them to throw it.
Yeah. As far as tennis, all you're trying to do for a beginning tennis player is just have them get the ball over the net. Having them put it in a specific place on the court. You're not having them go down the line. You're not having them go cross court. You're not hitting into the squares. All you're trying to do is just say, okay,
yep,
get the ball consistently over the net.
So hit to a space. Use your rangefinder and laser the center of the space, the spread of your balls. What is that number? 85? Even if it's not exactly 85, it's a generalization. And that's like your favorite position. Let's say it's a, you know, kind of a shoulder-to-shoulder, 56-degree wedge is 85 yards, right? Take that number and make it religious, right? So when you have a target that's 90 yards, don't hit it 90, hit it 85. Get it on the green. You got 5 yards, 15 feet. Put it out. Done. So if you can do that with 3 or 4 wedges, now we have 3 or 4 numbers. Maybe you can add a different length swing. Now we have 8 numbers. And I really pledge this and pursue this with the juniors and pros that I work with. It's like, what are your numbers? And if they don't have an answer, I've got a problem.
I want to thank our partners at Rapsodo and share more about their exciting award-winning combine that is launching this month. I'm partnering with them to give away 2 virtual golf lessons. All you have to do is complete a combine on your MLM or the new MLM 2 Pro during the month of August. Each combine is an entry, so the more you take, the more chances you have to win. If you've been listening since the beginning, you know that I'm a massive fan of both their launch monitors and the new MLM 2 Pro. I think it's a game changer. It's got 2 integrated cameras, Doppler radar, giving you 3 ways to see your swing. It's easy to use, extremely portable, and provides the same metrics competitors do at a fraction of the price, which I think is really, really important to have tech that is affordable to help you with your game. In addition to the combine, they're also still giving Son of a Butch listeners an exclusive discount. Code CH3 will get you $70 off your purchase of a MLM 2 Pro on rapsodo.com. They'll throw in a free dozen of the RPT balls to measure spin. You also get a first year of premium membership for free. Again, that's code CH3 at rapsodo.com for $70 off. And don't forget about their award-winning combines. I'd say a large majority of golfers and a large majority of people listening to this podcast fundamentally have no idea how far they hit. They really hit their golf clubs, their golf ball consistently. And that's where I've talked about this in the past, I think, wouldn't you agree? We are so influenced by television because the average golfer watches, who's big into golf, they watch a lot of golf on TV.
Right.
They spend an enormous time on the weekend watching golf.
Yep.
And so they're influenced by that, right? You know, hey, you know, John Wood, you know, they throw it down. The NBC guys throw it down to John Wood. The CBS guys throw it down to Dottie or Colt or any of the on course guys and say, what's he got? And they spit out on a par three, or if someone's laid up, they spit out a number. Okay, he's got 105 and he's going to hit this club. And I do think that a lot of golfers, when they are playing golf or they're on the range, they take those numbers as if those are the numbers that they're going to hit that club.
What I've had this conversation many times. It's like you're watching Pat Mahomes. Right. He scrambles, throws the dime to one of his receivers, and that fan of the game thinks they can go do that on the football field the next day. Yeah. And a golfer thinks they can be Jordan Spieth. He hits a wedge from 105 to 10 feet all day on Sunday because he's playing great. He's on TV. And they think that's what they need to do. There's no chance that type of basic fan of the game can throw the ball like Pat Mahomes.
Or shoot a three-pointer like Steph Curry, or take a free kick like Lionel Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo or any other sport. But why do you think that golfers, unlike any, I mean, we all marvel when we watch, you know, whatever your sport is, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, baseball, cricket, rugby, you know, soccer, which I call football, but there's no other sport to where people fundamentally believe that they're 35 years old, they have a regular job, that they think they're going to be able to go out and do the identical same things that LeBron does, that all of these great athletes. But for some reason in golf, we all think that, oh, because it's, I have a theory that I think it's because it's very hard for, if you love, let's say you love American football, it's very hard to actually ever play. You can't get a team. You can't get your own team and then go get another team.
Correct.
And then go to a regular size football, put all the pads on, get.
Or how about this? I can't call Andy Reid and say, hey, can you show me how to play like Pat Mahomes?
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Right. So why do you think it's because you can go to the same golf course? Let's say we live in South Florida. They have, they up until this year, they had the Honda here every year.
Yep.
We could go to PGA National. We could go on the weekend and watch someone play the bear trap, you know, hit it in the water on 15, bogey 16, bogey 17, bogey 18. And then you could go play from the same tees and somehow make a par on a hole where they made a bogey, or make a birdie on a hole where they made double. Do you think because the rules of golf are unlike any other, that you can go play the same venues from the same tees?
Excessive,
and there's that suspension of disbelief that you go play a par. You could play golf with.
You can go play Augusta.
You could go play golf with Rory McIlroy and he could make a bogey.
Yep.
You could be a 15, 20 handicapper and make a par somehow. Sneak it in there, make a par. And the belief system is, oh, we're playing the same game.
Yes.
But we're not. And I think that most golfers, and I've talked about this enormously, you know, ad nauseum on the pod, is I think a lot of golf for regular golfers, and to me, regular golfers are 99%, right? The people that you're watching that are competitive golfers, they make up but in my mind, they make up 1% of the people that are going to play this sport.
Okay, right. Yep.
Right. Especially when the golfers that you're watching on television, right? So to me, I've talked about this so much. I think for everyone listening, managing their expectations, but
know what you
understanding
have.
What it is that you can do.
Yes. Find some reality. Know what you have. If your 56 goes 85 instead of Jordan Spieth's 105, that's your number, right? If you can carry your driver maybe 230, it's not going to go 300, right? And it's a big part of the industry is tackling that from a wide view.
And I also think it's incumbent upon the player. My dad's always said, check your ego at the door when you go to the golf course or the driving range.
For sure.
Leave your ego in the car. And I do think that if everyone listening had a more honest approach, but an honest evaluation of what their strengths, but also what their weaknesses are, what do you think is a good kind of golf life hack for players to find what they're good at? Right? Because, I mean, we've got driving, we've got irons, we've got short game, and then we've got putting, right? And then you want to throw in course management. But to me, those are the five areas.
Sure.
You know, because if you look at what we're looking at from a tour standpoint or from a competitive standpoint, I'm looking at how Brooks, DJ, the players I work with, Brooks, DJ, Pat Perez, Marina Alex, I'm looking at how they drive the ball. I'm looking at what their iron game is like. You know, from the tour standpoint, we're looking at short irons, mid irons, long irons. Then we're looking at short game. Then we're looking at putting, and then we're looking at course management. Give me some, you know, basic life hacks that a 10 to 20 handicapper can use in their practice. It can help them evaluate what elements of those five things they're good at and what elements of those five things they're not good at.
Right. So we've covered short game, right? Putting the same way, I think, you know, give yourself 3 feet, make a circle, knock them all out. You need to be 100% from 3 feet, right? I don't care what your handicap is, right? Break it out, 6 feet, 10 feet. Maybe you find out what your percentages are, use 10 balls, make it easy, right? Just give yourself some level of expectation. Don't look at the tour stats. What's your stats?
And also, I think the average golfer vastly overestimates how good tour players are, right? Because they think every 15 footer, the percentages show that a tour player should make every 15 footer. So they get a 15 footer, whether it's for par, whether it's for bogey, whether it's for double, whether it's for birdie, whatever. I think the average golfer thinks, okay, if I miss a 15 footer, I'm a terrible putter. What is it? It's right around 7 to 8 feet. On the PGA Tour, it goes 50-50, right?
That's right. Yep.
Inside of, I think, 7 feet, the numbers incrementally make-wise go up the closer you get.
Correct.
But it's right around that 7 to 8 foot mark where it's 50-50 on the PGA Tour. The best of the best are half the time they make and half the time they miss.
Right. So start with putting, start with chipping too. You know, 8 foot circle. You get inside 8 foot circle.
Hey, I don't even think 8 feet. I think if, you know, you can get it inside a 10-foot circle.
Right.
Right? If you could just around the greens, regardless of how close you are.
Two flag distances, right?
Yeah, two flag distance. If you could just say, okay, let me get this anywhere inside of 10 feet.
Yep.
If you're a 15 handicapper, if you're a 20 handicapper, and every chip shot you have gets somewhere inside of a 10-foot, I'd even go 15-foot circle, you are going to be gaining massively.
Correct.
You're gaining strokes.
Let's put you in 6 times out of 10 balls, right?
Yeah.
All right. And then take that to a fuller swing, irons. Create boundaries, whether you use like an aim point, you know, 2 fingers. How many times can you get it through the field goal, right? When we're practicing basketball, we know if it goes in the hoop or not. But when we're hitting golf balls to a random target, we're thinking, okay, is it solid? Which way did it go? Left or right? What was the curve? Just get it in the uprights.
Yeah, if you've got a golf course where, if you've got a driving range where you practice and they have greens.
Those are awesome.
Like if you're lucky enough to have a drive, I know not everybody listening has that, but if you're lucky enough to have a driving range that has flags on a green, rather than, I think what everybody does, regardless of their handicap level, is they go to the driving range. If they've got a target and it's on a green, they're aiming at the target.
Right.
But they're not just trying to say, okay, whatever that distance, let's say it's 100 yards away. Let me just hit 10 balls and just hit the green. Don't even worry about where the target is.
Correct.
Right. If you've got a
20 yards wide, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it's 2 trees in the distance, chimneys like here, the net,
two flags, whatever. Give yourself barriers on either side, like a soccer goal, like a football goal, like a rugby goal. Give yourself barriers on either side and say, okay, you know, it's a thing that we say a lot in they say this a lot in hockey. They say this a lot in soccer/football. If a hockey player is close to the goal, if a footballer is close to the goal, they always say, make the keeper make a save. Hit the target, right? Regardless of whether you're going high, whether you're going low, make the goalie make a save, regardless of where that is. And I think if that concept, you say to yourself, okay, I just need to hit the target, and let's make the target big to begin with, and then start to shrink it after I get proficient at hitting the target.
But then once you achieve all these segments, from putting to full swing to driver, whatever, you have a base level of expectation, right? If you take that expectation to the course, now you're not going to get upset when something goes wrong. And I think that's a huge part of this. People have these expectations of a tour player. They can't back it up. They lose focus.
They're trying shots, one, that they've never practiced.
Correct.
That they've never done on a driving range. Now, when they're on the course playing the game, they're going to try something that is going to have a significant effect on their score, which is the object of playing golf, is your score.
Yep. And if you've been just working on hand position for 2 hours, then you go play nine holes and you're trying to work on hand position during the nine holes, probably not going to score your best. You're much better off kind of testing yourself, either in a warm-up for the round, get it through the gates, get it through the targets, make them from 3 feet, make them from five, give yourself hard, specific data, a system, if you will, that you can apply to the course. Now your expectations are grounded. Now you can play 18 holes, face the challenges, play the game, and you're not getting upset over missing some sort of simple shot or some imperfect swing or whatever.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie, too, for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
What handicap range would you say is... you need to be below this handicap range to actually aim at specific pins.
That is
right. So you've got you know,
you've that got is eight, a loaded question based on what we did last week, right?
You've got 18 holes, right? And you've got 18 greens. Give me a, for you, you've been doing this, you know, you've been teaching as long as I have. What is your threshold for, you need to be this handicap or lower for you to, as a player, to be aiming at pins as opposed to just trying to get it on the green?
I would say zero handicap. Get it on the green.
So you need to be a scratch golfer.
You need to be a scratch golfer.
To be going at specific targets on a green.
Yep. And, you know, one of the Brooks stories is the 4 or 5 hole litmus test.
Yeah, we've talked about that on the pod before.
And if you go out and play 4 or 5 holes, you're playing great. You've got maybe a green light. And for me, when I'm coaching, you got a green light for maybe 1 or 2 pins that are perfect scenarios, perfect numbers, perfect wedge distances, whatever. Perfect side of the green. That's it. And like at a major, 0 pins for Brooks. At a regular event, maybe 4 or 5.
Maybe.
Maybe. Right. If he's too aggressive, he backs it off. Right. I think it's a scratch handicap.
So if you're a 5,
I'll give you a green light.
But you won't, but the green light would only be,
man, it's going to be one perfect scenario per round.
And it's probably going to be with a club that you can control. So it's probably for, let's say if you're a 5, 10, 15 handicapper, it's probably going to be a scoring club.
Your objective is to eliminate the mistakes off the tee, the mistakes into the green, and just get out of there. Every hole. That's how we play the game, right? And if you're making these decisions going after pins and you don't have the right numbers, you're not going to perform well. You're not going to score well.
Well, you were giving a lesson last week when Brooks was here with, and I talked about this on the pod last week with Bogalaru, the kid that's trying to play professionally. And one of the things that you, I'd forgotten that Brooks said this, but you messaged me this.
Yep.
And I remembered it. You said, Brooks said to Bogle, I am 10 times more disciplined.
That's how he opened the conversation.
Than you are, and than you will ever be on the golf course with regards to targets, club selection, go, no go, green light versus red light. And he was like, I forgot to mention this in the pod when I was talking about it, but I thought that was fascinating that Brooks was like, I am more disciplined than you are. And I'm one of the best players in the world and have won 5 major championships and have been number one in the world. I'm more disciplined at picking conservative targets than you are.
And what does discipline mean? I mean, it's basically meaning that he knows his game that day, that minute, better than anyone else in the world, other than maybe Ricky, his caddy.
Yeah.
And implying that nobody else has that level of awareness and discipline in the room that day, for sure. And majority of professionals.
So how does a 15, 20 handicapper go on the golf course and have discipline to not go what we call, I mean, and again, I keep going back to this. I think it's so much television bias.
Yes.
I mean, he can go flag hunting here, Johnny. He can go flag hunting here. This is a green light pin. If you're a 15 handicapper, there are no green light pins.
There are no green light pins. I don't care if it's your perfect wedge number.
Just get it on the green.
Find the center of safety. Put it there. Right? We have, if you're a 15 handicapper, you probably have top problems with alignment, ball position, whatever, before we even get to the technical part. So you got to knock out all that stuff first, right? You got to have an expectation that, hey, I just got 7 out of 10 within 85 yards when I was warming up. I've got a pin at 90. I'm not going to try to hit a 90. I'm going to hit it 85. And you have a 70% chance, based on what you did earlier, to hit that shot.
And I also think that people forget, the average golfer forgets, that unless you are lucky enough to be a member at a very elite tournament-style golf course, right? You know, like a very elite... The majority of golfers play golf on greens that aren't running 13.
Yep.
They're not rock hard. The rough isn't massively up. The greens don't have the undulation that we see at places like Augusta or a major championship. So the greens, it's a generalization, but I think most people play golf courses where the greens are relatively flat.
For sure.
The majority of the greens that they're going to play, they might have some subtle slopes, but they're not going to have the slope that, you know, the first green at Augusta has, to where if they put the pin in certain positions, there's no way to actually even get at those positions. The greens are massively, there's false fronts, there's a lot of rough, there's a lot of...
And nobody plays golf like that.
Most people don't play golf like that.
Yeah.
They're never going to play golf like
that. I understand golf like that.
So right? You're lucky in that you're not a 15 handicapper and your home course is Augusta National, because you'd quit if you had to play Augusta National every day because the golf course is just too hard. If you had to play, you know, TPC Sawgrass, where they play the Players' Championship, I mean, that golf course is next to impossible to play for tour players when they set it up under tournament conditions. So I think most golfers are lucky in that they play golf courses that they can just basically...
Should be scoreable.
Scoreable if you do have the discipline to say, listen, let me just get it anywhere off the tee.
And make sure you choose the right tee to begin with,
yeah,
for sure.
So how do you give a life hack, golf life hack, to for everyone listening? How do you go about that? How do you choose the tees you play? Because everybody wants to play.
I start simple. If you're a junior, you play all the way up until you can break par. And then you work your way back to the next tee. Can you break par from there? And I don't...
So if you're a 15 handicapper,
if you're a group,
you want to go back and play the back tees because you want to be...
You want to feel like a tour player.
You want to feel like you're a player.
Blah, blah, blah.
But until you can consistently... You know, I think, you know, if you're trying to break 80 for the first time, rather than do it from the tee box that you want to play, go to the forward tee. The furthest
no
forward
shame
tree,
in the forward tee.
You know, historically, that has been the ladies' tee.
Whatever.
Right? Whatever.
Now they're different colors, whatever.
Yeah, but, what, you know, red, white, blue, whatever. Go to the front. Go as far up as you can and try and break. If you're trying to break 100 for the first time, go to the furthest forward tee and try and break 100.
You'd be surprised how fun it is, right? And if you put it like that, golf is a race from those tees, and we're covering distance, right, as fast as you can, and it's a race. And when you play from the wrong tee or the furthest tee back, you're just making that race so much more tougher.
Yeah.
Right? And so...
If you're trying to play golf from further back than you should, to me, it's the equivalent of trying to climb Mount Everest and basically starting at the bottom and just thinking you're just going to climb all the way to the top. You're not going to camp one and then not go. So to me, the tee boxes are like climbing Mount Everest. Go to the front and just try and get acclimated at camp one, which is the furthest forward tee. And once you get comfortable there, once you feel like you can kind of make good rational decisions there, get acclimated, get kind of in a good place, then you say, okay, camp two is one tee further back. And if you're trying to break, I mean, I think that's a great way to think about it, right? If you're trying to break 100 for the first time, go to the forward tee. Go to the closest possible, the shortest distance the golf course can be played from, and see it if you can break 100 from there.
Surprised how much fun you would have.
You would have a lot of fun because there would be a lot of par fours that you could get to in two, as opposed to saying, listen, I can't even get to this par four in two because I just don't hit it far enough. You could probably get to half of the par threes. You might be able to get, you know, if you're playing a golf course where there's four par threes, you might, let's see, if you could get to one of them.
You might have a wedge into two of them, let's say.
But if you could just hit one of the greens,
yes,
out of the four, as opposed to missing all of them.
Yes.
That's a gain. That's a win.
Huge.
You're making progress.
Big time progress.
So consistently breaking 100, consistently breaking 90, consistently breaking 80 from a variety of different tees, I think is a really good baseline. Instead of just going, okay, you at your course, you've got, let's say you've just got red, blue, and white, right? Go to the red, see what your score is. Next time you play, go to the white, see what your score is. Go all the way back, see what your score is. If you do that, I think you'd have a pretty good idea of the tees that you should be playing.
Sure. You're going to have some perspective, some data.
Because I'm guessing you're probably going to shoot lower scores from the more forward tees, and you're probably going to shoot exponentially worse from the back tees.
Correct.
And then figure out where you need to be based off of that. I mean, when you and I go out and play, I hate playing golf from all the way back.
Yes.
I mean, it's brutal for me because I don't hit the golf ball far enough, yep. Right? Here at the Flow,
sneaky speed.
No, but I mean, if we play all the way back here at the Flow, what is it?
7,100. You play some of those unmarked tees, yeah.
Right. And so on days that it's windy, there are going to be par fours where if I hit a good drive.
Number nine is 500 yards.
Yeah. Our ninth hole is 500 yards. If I'm playing that from the back tee and I bust a driver, like I might be able to hit it 280. I mean, if I really catch one, it's rolling out to 290. But you know me, I'm bad at math. That's 280. That's going to leave me
220.
I wouldn't have got that right, but yeah. Now I've got 220.
Which is hybrid.
Probably trying to bust a 3-wood. I'm terrible at hitting 3-wood.
Into the wind.
Right?
Who's good at hitting 3-wood off the deck?
The prevailing wind is normally on our ninth hole.
Right, so that hurt.
Whereas if I play it from 60... So we've got 4 tees at the Flow, right? Or 5.
Yep.
Okay, so let's see. 5 tee it's the shortest. So let's say I played it from the 3-tee.
Yep.
So a hole that is 500 yards now is...
I think it's 400.
400.
Yeah.
Right? So it's 100 yards in distance.
Yes.
Right? But again, if I hit my drive 270, 260 to 270, instead of doing that from all the way back, where now I'm looking at hitting 3-wood or going, I probably can't even get to the green here if it's into the wind.
Yep.
I'm looking at a mid iron where I've got a much better chance to get to the green.
For sure. And that's more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who the hell practices 3-woods off the deck all the time? Right?
Nobody.
Not even tour players.
Hell no.
Right?
Good golf life hack for figuring out the shape that you're trying to hit. Right to left, left to right. How does someone identify, regardless of their handicap level, how do they identify what shape they should be trying to hit?
Well, I think you got to go through our testing, right? Put up some barriers, put up a mark. We need a curve draws in there.
On the driving range.
Yes, on the driving range.
Do it with a 7, 9 iron, 8 iron, something that, you know, obviously the higher the loft, the harder it is to curve the golf ball. I think kind of that 8 iron to 7 iron is a good golf club to use. That is going to show you whether you can curve the golf ball the way you want to or not.
It'll be solid practice nonetheless, but you know, you do 10 draws, 10 fades, who wins, right?
And then 10 shots where you're trying to swing the golf club from out to in, which would be more of a fade shot. 10 golf balls where it's trying to swing the golf club a little bit more pathwise from in to out, which would be more of a draw shot.
Yep.
You know, 10 balls, maybe 20 if you want to push it and say, okay, out of these 20, how many of them had the shape that I was trying to hit?
Yes.
If it's left to right, if it's right to left. Just start there. And I think one of the things I think is important is...
And I don't care how you do it, by the way.
Yeah, and don't care how you do it. And don't have the running commentary in your head on, okay, well, that was too much. Can you move the golf ball left to right? Can you start it left of the target? Have it curve back to the right?
Right.
Can you start it right of the target? Have it curve back to the left and just get. And then basically based off of that, you're probably going to have a good idea. I think the majority of golfers will struggle, mid to high handicap golfers. The majority of golfers, if they did that, 10, 20 balls trying to hit a fade, 10 to 20 balls trying to hit a draw, they're going to struggle to hit the draw.
Yeah. I mean, they might do the exact opposite, right? They might be trying to draw it and it's just a push slice every time, yeah. Right? So
based off of that, what does a player do?
You got to find the center of safety and hit it straight at it and don't try to curve it. You got to find a level. You got to have a base level of proficiency that you can yourself believe in instead of the TV or whatever, right? If it's 3 out of 10 draws, 4 out of 10 fades, then let's go play fade only off the tee, fade only into the greens for 9 holes and just see what happens, right?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
I think so many people are unwilling to actually go out on the golf course, something that you and I have talked to our student. It's very difficult to go out on the golf course. Bob Rotella wants you to go to the golf course with no swing thoughts.
Right.
But he'll allow you to have one.
Right.
Right. And I've told you the story. You've seen it in action. Trevor Immelman, you know, we love Trevor. Too smart for golf. Way too smart for golf. And
one of my favorite swings of all time.
And would overthink and overanalyze. And Rotello said, listen, I don't want you to go with any swing thoughts, but I'll give you one. And Trevor was dying. This is like 04. We're at the Masters. And Trevor's like, there's no way I can play golf with just one swing thought. And Rotello wants you to take one swing thought, right? And keep it the entire round, which is very difficult.
Commit.
So my point being, go play 9 holes and commit to just hitting one shape, whatever that shape is, right? But do the test on the range and say, okay, it's easier for me. It's hard for me to draw it. I tend to slice the golf ball, right? I think most people listening will fall into that category. They tend to slice the golf ball. Okay, so go play 9 holes and play for that shape, play for that miss, play for the ball to go left to right, adjust your aim, and don't try and go to the golf course and hit a draw, which you aren't able to do on the driving range. Just go to the golf course and say, okay, I'm going to fade it, slice it around. Rather than fade it, I'm going to slice the golf ball around the golf course.
I don't care.
I'm going to aim for that shape.
Yes. Bank on it. Right? You know, football players, if they're injured, they understand what they have that day and they go out and play anyway. You need to understand what you have that day and go out and play anyway and just commit. Right? Don't try to be perfect out there. Don't try to hit every shape.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's something I preach on the pod all the time. I think for a regular golfer, just have one shape. You don't need to hit the golf ball high. You don't need to hit the golf ball low. You don't need to have all of these tools in your toolbox. You just need a hammer. And if you've got a hammer, you can hammer in a nail.
Yep.
Right? And then if you can just, every time you see a nail and you've got a hammer and you can just hammer that nail in.
Perfect.
Perfect. Now, to do other things, to do advanced carpentry, but you could have a hammer and some nails and some wood.
You could do something
and else. You could make something.
Yes.
With just a hammer and just some nails. Not screws, not saws. You could put together some pieces of wood that could make something, right? And if you could think about just going out and trying to play nine holes and saying, listen, I'm just going to hit the golf ball with the swing that I've got this direction for nine holes on every shot.
That's
not going to aim at targets.
Great example of discipline right there.
I don't care where it is on the fairway, whether it's on the left side, the right side, the middle, just anywhere in the fairway, anywhere on the green, add up what you shoot.
And get out of there.
Because if you could do that, right, I think, wouldn't you agree? If you could do that, if you could just go out and say, okay, let me get the ball and play off the tee, and you could do that, right? You just say, okay, it might not be pretty, but I am getting the ball in play in the fairway off the tee. And then I'm not really aiming at any flags. I'm just basically hitting this anywhere on the green, right? If then you look at your score and you've got 43 putts, then you could say, okay, maybe you need to just learn how to putt better because you're hitting some fairways and you're hitting some greens. And okay, now maybe we need to go look at speed control. Maybe we need to look at that. But again, I think everybody looks at their golf game and thinks that they need to have all of the shots.
Right. They do not. Very few people in the world have all the shots. I think maybe Ernie Els's peak, you saw it, right?
Tiger had all the shots.
Tiger, you saw it in person?
Rory has a lot of shots.
I can tell you, Brooks doesn't have all the shots.
Brooks kind of has.
But the shots that he have, man, are money.
Right.
And he's very disciplined to use them.
Give me some contact hacks. I think something that I've preached a lot
about. The contact show.
Yeah, we had an old show called
API.
Yeah, we had a show that we put up on YouTube that years ago, was that 15 years ago, called The Contact Show.
Yeah.
And nobody watched. I will say this, one year, is it 2011? It was right around that time we started The Contact Show, right? 2008,
maybe Joe Hafara can chime in. Something around there.
Yeah. But we had this show called The Contact Show, and I was at the PGA at Atlanta Athletic Club. I was getting my credential. My wife was with me, and some guy came up to me who was a club pro, and he said, big fan of The Contact Show. And my wife, Lisa, said, oh, you're the one. You're the one watcher. but contact, right? How do golfers, what are some easy life hacks that they can do to improve quality of strike and contact?
Yeah, for putting, I need a gate. Put it through the gate.
So the tiger. The tiger drill. You put two tees on either side of your putter, depending on how much. Give yourself some room.
Yep.
Right on either side of the putter. So the toe. Put a tee outside the toe, outside the heel. Target, no target.
No target.
And
then begin to challenge yourself when you get
there. Yeah, and just feel like you're. Give yourself no target, and let's say you're trying to hit a 10-foot putt. And see if you can control the putter.
And the speed.
And the speed. And have a sameness. I mean, one of the great drills that I like to do is have someone in your mind do the gate, right? Do the gate drill, right? You're going to give yourself room to hit the putter and then say, okay, I've got a 10-foot putt. I'm going to hit 5 balls, 10 balls. And I'm going to see if all of them kind of have a sameness to them.
Yep.
Look the same.
Is it tight? Is it big?
Speed-wise. Give yourself a tee. Walk out 5 steps, 10 steps, and say, okay, I'm just going to hit 10 balls and see if I've got 5 balls or 10 balls that look somewhat similar to each other from a speed standpoint, from a distance standpoint, from a dispersion standpoint.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yep.
How much of putting contact-wise, the way the club contacts the ball, do you think can be cured and you can benefit from by taking away the target?
All of it, especially the higher the handicap. I mean,
no hole.
You go to Pop Stroke, you go to Miniature Golf, you get those little bullseye style putters. People hit those great.
Shitty golf balls.
Yeah.
Through the clown's mouth.
And they get to the golf course, they got your fancy spider putter and holes and breaks, and maybe, I mean, sometimes it's slower than an actual putt-putt golf course, and it's a complete freak out. So make sure you gamify it a little bit too. And then for, you know, for chipping, I preach, even for pros, you got to have like a 10-yard shot. One that goes high, one that goes low. I don't care what wedge it is. And you need to hit a shot that goes 10 yards, or like a soft kind of floppy type of shot that goes 10 yards, stays within 10 yards, and one that flies about 10 yards and rolls out however far.
So life hack for players to hit the golf ball with a 10-yard wedge shot, easiest way to hit the golf ball higher and easiest way to hit the golf ball lower.
Correct. Just give me 10 yards.
But you give me, so what's a good way that someone can train themselves to do that?
Right. So usually a 55, 56 degree wedge can accomplish this, especially in Florida. If you get enough bounce, enough loft to do both. I like the ball back for low and 10, the ball up for high and 10. And it doesn't have to be super high.
It doesn't have to be super low. Just for you shots. As the player to be able to see the difference between what the trajectory looks like with the ball back in your stance.
Yep.
The shaft's going to be leaning more forward.
Yep.
Right? At address. And then, so.
In general, I like for small shots, I like small stance, small body, small swings. Right? So we're just small. And we're hitting them 10 yards.
Right.
And if you can hit that 100 times in a row from the green that's 10 yards off the green, one high and one that rolls a little bit, you've got almost 90% of the scenarios on the course figured out.
Right.
Assuming you get on the green and you get it within 10, 15 feet.
So I think a good hack would be three ball positions.
Yep.
Neutral ball position, middle of your stance. And then you can more forward, two balls more forward, three balls more forward, and then based off of a middle of the stance ball position, you get one ball further back, two balls further back, three balls further back.
You're getting very systematic.
And just basically say, okay, if I move the golf ball one ball further back in my stance, two balls, three balls, okay, I see that golf ball go lower.
By the way, this is no targets.
No targets.
This is distance.
Just on the driving range.
On the driving range, perfect.
Yeah, you don't even need to go to a short game green and just see the trajectory change.
Yep.
And I think if you could do that, then you could say on the golf course, okay,
I've got this shot.
I need to hit the golf ball a little bit lower. I'm just going to move this one ball, two ball, three balls back in my stance. I've got to hit a little bit higher.
Or how about this? You don't have this shot and then you hit it over here somewhere to the right or to the left. Bump shot, whatever. Right. And then maybe throw in an extra pitching wedge. And now we got two options.
What handicap level is your cutoff in short game for opening and closing the face?
That is loaded, right? In general, I always like it a little bit open.
Okay.
Okay.
Just a little.
Just like, you know, 1 o'clock, just 10 degrees.
Open it, then take your grip.
And then take your grip.
Don't take your grip and then open it, because if you take your grip and open it, you're going to come back to square.
In general, I like it just a little bit open.
And why?
I want to make sure the bounce doesn't get too high or too low. And I want to make sure the loft stays the same that you set at address. Meaning some people open it and close it, some people close it, some people open, whatever. Try to keep it the same, right? Try to return the club to the same position you started from. And don't be a Mickelson. Be a Stricker. Get it on the green. Be efficient. And you can change trajectory with ball position to some degree.
Or you can change trajectory by
choosing a different wedge.
Club selection.
Yep. So I like to dumb it down. Maybe that's not the best word for it. Just really simplify and be less dramatic or less exotic. Because
I do think most golfers are trying to be three Michelin star chefs, trying to make fancy, fancy food. They don't really know how to just make a basic cheeseburger, a basic omelet. And they're trying to be an abstract painter as opposed to just painting by numbers. Just drawing inside.
Numbers guy, right?
Just draw inside the, all the red goes into number ones, all blue. You can paint a picture by paint by numbers.
The goal of the game or the short game shot is to get up and to get down, right?
Right.
That's it. I don't need height, I don't need spin, up and down. 50% is the up, 50% is the putt, the down. Just get it up and down. Doesn't have to be a lob over the bunker if you don't have that shot or have practiced that shot. Put it out there in mid trajectory, give yourself 15 feet, and you might get lucky and make it, right? You can make 4 from 10 feet in your earlier test.
Lastly, I mean, I've said my, you know, views on this, playing versus practicing. For the average golfer, right? For the 10 to, so for the golfer trying to break 100, 90, and 80 for the first time, advice on how much they should be practicing versus playing.
Right. I think this is a big problem with my coaching, and I'm going to change it, but we need to be playing more like we practice and playing as much as possible. It's a game. You don't, you go play tennis, you go play golf, right? You go play catch, you're playing. That is the game, right? And I hate a tripod and a TrackMan on a practice team. To me, no other sport does that as long as we do. So I'm going to change it.
Well, as always, great info, and
thanks for having me on, man.
You got it, man. It's
I owe just about the entire life and career to you.
Well, I couldn't do what I do without your help and your dedication. So we're in the same boat. We're indispensable. We're like an old married couple.
It's funny.
Great talking to you.
All right, sir. Thank you.
For everyone listening, thank you all so much. It really means a lot to me, and we're going to keep trying to put out content to help you improve your game. Son of a Butch comes to you every Wednesday. We will see you next week.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.